The book of Psalms, chapter 2. We'll have one more hymn after our study tonight. If you have your Bibles there, turn to Psalm 2, and we want to continue in our Wednesday night series. It's been a little while since we did Psalm 1, and we're looking at Psalm 2 now, and the theme, Jesus Shall Reign. And we're going to read the verses together. In fact, why don't we all read them together on the count of three, verse 1 down to verse 12. Follow my lead, please. 1, 2, and 3. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. We again commit this time into your hands, asking for your blessing, Lord, upon our prayer meeting and, Lord, upon our short study as we look at these words in Psalm 2. Lord, that our hearts would be encouraged. Lord, you give us what we need tonight in the middle of our week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 2 is a messianic psalm. In fact, Psalm 2 is the most frequently quoted psalm in the New Testament. Okay, now when we started our series in Psalms a number of weeks back, we mentioned that the book of Psalms is really the hymn book of the Bible, and the great themes in the Psalms should be the soundtracks of our Christian lives. And there's so many wonderful insights in the book of Psalms into God's character, many words of comfort in the Psalms, and so on. Now, who is the author of Psalm 2? A few introductory points here. I will give you, Lord willing, a handout sheet, a worksheet next week. We're going to only be able to cover half the psalm tonight, and next week we'll recap and do the second half, and I'll have a fill-in sheet for you then. But introductory points here, the author of the psalm. Well, if you go to Acts chapter 4 and verse 25, the New Testament reveals that David was the penman of this psalm. Now, what is the theme of the psalm? The psalm deals with the coronation of the Son of God in spite of man's violent opposition to him. Now, we can summarize the psalm by dividing it into four sections. In fact, the psalm divides into four stanzas quite neatly, with three verses in each stanza. Okay, so we have in verse 1 to 3, the first stanza in the psalm, and that deals with man in rebellion against the Lord, and specifically against his anointed. You'll notice reference to the Lord's anointed in Psalm 2. Who is the Lord's anointed? That's Christ, isn't it? That's the Messiah. The word Christ in the New Testament is the word anointed. Okay, so when we have reference in Psalm 2 to the Lord's anointed, that is a reference to the Son of God, the Messiah. Okay, so it's a messianic psalm. So in verse 1 to 3, we have mankind in rebellion to the rulership and the authority of God. And then in verse 4 to 6, we have God the Father's reply to man's sinful rebellion. We have heaven's reply to earth's revolt, you could say. So we have mankind whipped up in verse 1 through 3 in rebellion against God, in opposition to God. And then in verse 4 to 6, we have heaven's reply. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Okay. And then in verse 7 to 9, we have the Messiah speak. This is Christ, the Son of God, speaking through the psalm. He says, I will declare the decree. The Lord, that is Jehovah, hath said unto me, Thou art my Son. So this is the Messiah speaking through the psalm. This is Christ, the Son of God, speaking, declaring the decree of the Father. Then in verse 10 to 12, we have this appeal to the rebellious nations to submit to the Messiah. Serve the Lord with fear, verse 11, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. That's really the gospel, isn't it, in the Old Testament. The gospel in a nutshell right there in verse 12, the appeal to sinful man to submit and to repent and to give over his life to the Lord's anointed, to the Son of God. Kiss the Son. Who's that? You with me tonight? Okay, kiss the Son. Who's the Son? All together now. Kiss the Son. Christ. Thank you. Okay, good. Bible commentator William S. Plumer summarizes the psalm in these words. The great design of the psalm is to foretell the hatred of men to the person and reign of Christ. That's true, isn't it? We see the hatred of men to the person and reign of Christ. The glories of Messiah, the triumphs of his kingdom, and the dreadful downfall of his foes, thus laying a proper ground for solemn exhortation to all men to yield themselves subjects of the Prince of Life. Now, as I mentioned at the start of the message, this psalm is quoted more in the New Testament than any other psalm, so it's a very significant and important psalm. Now, let me just give you a few of those references. In fact, let's just look up a couple just so you can see some examples here. Let's look at Acts chapter 4 for a moment. Acts 4 and verse 24 to 28. Acts 4 and verse 24 to 28. The Bible reads, And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage? Okay, so you see there a reference to Psalm 2. It's attributed to David as the human author. Okay, we know that the Spirit of God is the author ultimately, but David was the instrument, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. So can you see that's a New Testament quotation of Psalm 2. You also find another quotation over in Acts chapter 13. It's a bit of a Bible study here tonight. Acts 13 and verse 33. Acts 13 verse 33 reads, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm. Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. So there's just two examples out of seven. There's also Hebrews 1:5, Hebrews 5 verse 5. And then you will remember from our Revelation series, we have several references to Messiah ruling with the rod of iron. Okay, that is based on Psalm 2, Revelation 2:27, Revelation 12 verse 5 and Revelation 19:15, all drawn out of the imagery and the words of Psalm 2. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to follow the natural division of the psalm. As I said before, it divides into those four stanzas of three verses each. So verse 1 through 3, 4 through 6, 7 through 9, and 10 through 12. And what we're going to do tonight is just look at verses 1 to 6, the first two stanzas, and I'll give you the points for those as we go through. So number one, we have in verse 1 through 3 what I would call the opposition to God's anointed. Okay, the opposition to God's anointed, the rebellion of man against God and his anointed. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Underscore the word against there. All right, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. That's man in rebellion against God. Nothing's changed, has it? That is the natural disposition of sinful man against his maker, man in his corrupt state, man in his sinful state, his unregenerate state is in opposition and at enmity with God. Now, there are three main points in these verses concerning man's opposition to the rulership of God. In verse 1, we have what I would call the foolishness of man's rebellion. The foolishness of man's rebellion. Why do the heathen rage? The psalmist poses this question here, and the people imagine a vain thing. So this is the psalmist's reaction to this startling fact of man's rebellion against God. It is it's a statement of surprise, of amazement, of shock, as it were, that man would be so prideful as to try and oppose God. So he says, why did the heathen rage? The word why there means to what purpose or for what reason. Okay, so it's that expression of amazement on the part of the psalmist that mankind would be so audacious as to attempt to overthrow God's authority. And the picture here is of the heathen raging. What does the word rage mean? Anyone want to attempt to explain that for me? What does the word, could you give me a definition, simple definition of the word rage? Uncontrolled anger. Very good. Okay, so it's more than, sinful anger, we're not in control, but, there's different degrees of anger, aren't there? So rage is that violent pouring out of someone's fury in a very hostile way. Webster defines the word as violent anger accompanied with furious words, gestures, or agitation. Anger excited to fury. And we're living in a world tonight that is raging against God. That's the picture. The psalmist views, God views the world as raging, as that heated boiling up of hostility and opposition to God and God's authority. It's kind of like the picture of the raging of the sea. Have you ever seen the boiling of the ocean, as it were, in a storm, and the crash of the waves and the heaving of the ocean waves? It's a picture there of mankind raging and full of hostility towards God. That's not a very pretty picture, but it's a truthful picture of the world. The world is full of raging, full of hostility towards God and God's laws. There's a lot of commentary today at the moment about the US election. And we've all seen footage over the past few months, haven't we, of these riots, windows smashed, things being burnt down. Doesn't matter what your political persuasion is, that is an illustration of the raging of man in rebellion against God and God's authorities in their lives. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Now, this word imagine is an interesting word. We've encountered it before in the previous psalm. If you go back to Psalm 1, it says in Psalm 1 verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he, what's that word? Meditate. That word meditate comes from the exact same word in translated imagine in verse 1 of chapter 2. So do you see the picture? The godly person employs his mental powers, his mental faculties. He exercises his heart and his mind on godly things. He meditates on the law of God, okay? He thinks about it. He ponders God's ways and God's word, okay? But the ungodly man, the rebellious man in opposition to God, employs those same God-given mental faculties, those same mental powers in plotting and planning and scheming against the authority of God. That's the picture. They imagine a vain thing. It has the idea of to meditate upon. This is more than just a fleeting thought. This is actually a scheming and a planning, as we're going to see, to try and overthrow God's authority. Very interesting. We see that in our world. It's not that people just have thoughts about trying to do away with the authority of the Bible, there are elaborate plans that are constructed, put in place, activists trying to push anti-biblical, anti-God agendas. This is all the imaginations of evil men trying to do away with God's reign. But God sees it as a vain thing. It's a foolish thing for man to oppose God. So we see the foolishness of man's rebellion in verse 1. It's vain. Then we notice the form of man's rebellion. What shape does this rebellion take? And what avenue does it take there? Verse 2, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. So in verse 2, we have an unholy alliance, an unholy confederacy, you could say, an unholy union. We have the kings of the earth, the rulers of the earth, taking counsel together, setting themselves in a place of opposition against God and specifically against his anointed. Christ is the great test of every man. And if man is in opposition to the Son of God, that means he is in opposition to God himself. So we have the kings of the earth, the rulers. Interesting, those who hold the power of government in the world. That's the picture. Okay, the representatives of the people, the kings, they're the highest in command, okay, in the ancient world. Rulers, those who function in underneath those supreme rulers, the leaders of the nations, the authorities in the nations, the government powers are seeking together to come up with a plan to overthrow God's authority. The phrase set themselves means to take a stand, okay? We talk about taking a stand for that which is right and that which is good. Here we have sinful man taking a stand against God. This same word is used of Goliath. Okay, to give you a bit of a mental picture here, is used of Goliath in 1 Samuel 17:16, where it says that he presented himself 40 days. That comes from the same Hebrew word translated here, set themselves. So you get the picture there. Goliath is coming. He presents himself. He sets himself against Israel. So this is the picture of the rulers of the world standing in united opposition to God. They take counsel together. This is their deliberations and discussions one with another, and it is against the Lord and against his anointed. Now, it's interesting, isn't it, how sinful man, even today, sinful men try and use government, okay, as an instrument to try and work against God's authority. Okay, that's what we have happening here. We have the rulers of the world united in their opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And the world as a system is in opposition to God. That is a reality. So this is the form of man's rebellion. This rebellion taking shape in a very united way. I think you see that illustrated at the cross, don't you? You have all the different faces of the world very quickly united in opposition to Christ. You have the world with its religious face. You have the Pharisees, the Sadducees, normally bitter enemies, all of a sudden made friends together, all of a sudden united against the one hanging on the tree. You have Herod and Pilate, who normally are enemies one with another, made friends the day of Christ's crucifixion. And so you see the world with its civil face, its religious face, all coming together, the soldiers, the world unites very quickly in opposition to the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice then the focus of man's rebellion. What's the What's the primary agenda here? Why are they gathering together? Why all these deliberations? Why the imaginations? What are they trying to plot and plan? Verse 3 tells us, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." So mankind, sinful mankind, is in opposition and rebellion to the authority and the reign of Almighty God. Now look at how sinful man perceives God's authority. Let us break their what? Bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. This is sinful man viewing God's reign and God's authority as bondage. You know, that's how sinful man views without God in his unregenerate state. That's how he views the word of God. That's how he views the authority of God. He sees it as, or perceives it as, a form of bondage. So here, what are they saying? Let's get free. Let's free ourselves of these restrictions. Let's free ourselves of God's authority. Let's free ourselves from God's reign. You know, the world thinks that if they can just get far enough away from this book, they'll have freedom. I mean, make no mistake about it. We see it even in our nation. We've seen it as things are progressing, even over the past few years, in certain areas of legislation, man trying to legislate his rebellion against God. And by this, we are told, we are progressing to a more free and prosperous society. But that's how man views the authority of God. What a contrast to the born-again believer who views God's authority as a blessed thing, who views God's authority as a wonderful thing. We take the view presented to us by Christ that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. What happens when you get saved? Well, the Lord does something in our hearts, because our hearts naturally are in that state of enmity with God. That boiling up of opposition to God is in each of us without salvation, without Christ. But one of the marks of the new birth is a sweet submissiveness to God and an obedience to God. It comes about as a result of the new birth. So they say, let us break their bands asunder. The word bands means fetters or chains, and cast away their cords. The word means ropes. So here we have sinful man viewing God's authority, God's laws, as being like chains upon him, like he is bound with ropes, and he wants to break God's authority from off him. So man is united against the person of God and the precepts of God, God and his word. Now, I want us just to think for a moment about how these verses are fulfilled, the fulfillment of man's rebellion. How do we see these verses fulfilled? Well, I think number one, generally, we see mankind in his sinful state, I've made reference to it already, is opposed to God. We see this anti-authority attitude across the world, don't we? And it's directed against God himself, through evil laws or attempts to use evil laws and attempts to use the institution of government as an instrument of rebellion against God and his word. Okay? There's a huge rebellion on at the moment against what God's word teaches about male and female, as an example. That's not a matter of equality, that's really a matter of rebellion. It's man's rebellion against God. Rebelling against God's laws in that area, saying, let's break loose of those traditional values, which ultimately are God's values as presented in the Word of God. I think we see it in express this anti-authority attitude expressed against God-ordained authority too, don't we? I was just, as I was preparing the typing out the message this afternoon, one of the neighbours got some awful rap music going. I thought, that sounds a lot like rebellion. Absolute rebellion, raging, a raging sound, not even musical, but vile words of contempt and rebellion and anarchy pumping out there. So we see that rebellious attitude of sinful man expressed towards God himself, towards his word, but also to God-ordained authority, parents, pastors, the police, these anti-authority sentiments expressed in the pop culture, the music and the music and movies of the world. But specifically, these verses have a very important application. They are connected to both the first and the second coming of Christ. And I read those verses for you there in Acts chapter 4 just a moment ago. But if we just go back there briefly, Acts chapter 4, you'll see that this psalm had a prophetic fulfillment at the first coming of Christ, and they will also be fulfilled in a very literal way at the second coming of Christ, because here we see the whole world united in opposition to Christ. So Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 4 and verse 24. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Okay, verse 25, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, here's the quotation from the psalm, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, for of a truth against thy... Now, here's the fulfillment. Okay, so there's the quotation from the psalm, and here it is applied to what has just happened at the crucifixion of Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. So can you see how the New Testament writer here takes the quotation from Psalms and relates it to what has just happened at the crucifixion? Okay, the united efforts of sinful man against Christ. All right, so we see that these verses have a fulfillment generally as far as just what we see in the world, the raging of man, sinful man against God, but they have a very specific fulfillment in both the first and second advents of Christ. First coming of Christ, these verses were fulfilled when Christ was rejected and crucified, according to Acts 4 there. Then we will see at the second coming of Christ, these verses are also fulfilled at the second advent, and again, I rely on your memory of the recent series through Revelation. Remember those final acts of opposition to God, Revelation 19. Remember when Christ comes back on the horse? Remember that? Are the world kneeling, waiting for him to arrive, or what's happening? The whole world stirred up in hostility against God. So Psalm 2 has a prophetic fulfillment in both the first advent and the second advent of Christ. And of course, we have that final revolt just before at the end of the millennium as well. Now, we need to stop, run out of time, but here's a little challenge for us as Christians too. We need to beware of this anti-authority bias that resides in our sin nature. Did you know that? Now, like I said, praise God through salvation and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, there is a change that takes place in our attitude towards God's authority, isn't there? But let us not forget that in me, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. And in my sin nature that's still there until one day I have a new body, the old life, the old man, the self-life can very quickly get whipped up with that natural anti-authority bias that resides in each of us. You know, I see that sometimes. I see Christians rage against the Word of God. I mean, it really comes down to, is it going to be Christianity on your terms or God's terms? But how many times have we seen where Christians in the flesh have risen up in blatant opposition to what the Word of God says? So we have to be careful too. It's not just looking at the world out there. This anti-authority spirit is very much affecting our churches today. It does. It affects the attitude of people to their pastor, affects the attitude of children to their parents. We need to be very careful that the raging of the world against authority does not have an effect upon us, because the self-life in us is very much allied to that. Is that making sense? Yeah, it's very, very important that we're very careful. And before we even talk about God's ordained authorities, like I said before, just even the way we can at times revolt against the Word of God. Now, let's be honest. If you walk with the Lord, somewhere along the line, you're going to encounter a command that runs against the grain. It's going to, if you're not careful, it's going to stir up
unless you be filled with the Spirit and surrender to the Lord, is going to stir up that spirit of hostility and rebellion against God. So we do need to be aware of that as believers as well. Well, we'll leave it there tonight. That's point one. Come back next week for point two, all right? But the point of the psalm is that despite all of man's opposition to God, Jesus will reign. And that's the encouraging thought there. All right, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll divide up into our prayer groups. Dear Lord, we thank you again tonight for your word and for the reminder tonight of the fact that you will reign in spite of man's opposition to you. Help us, Lord, in our own lives to be dead through the work of the cross to the anti-authority spirit that is there in our sinful nature. And help us to be submitted to your commands as well in your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.